Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 21st. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, you know, I'm very glad to be here.
So glad to have you with us. So glad to have everybody from the live chat with us as well. Always love seeing you. And, of course, thank you to everybody that joins us from the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service, an educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, Dr. Vicki, looking forward to an interesting chat tonight. I think we decided to get us started. We had a topic suggestion, an idea last week from Teresa on solfeggio frequencies. And yeah. I think her...
I don't know why I forgot that. My music lessons escaped me. You know, I should have known that, Michael. Go ahead.
Well, no, it was just interesting because, you know, I've been looking over some brief things. Definitely not read up on the subject, but listening to you talk about it was fascinating how it intertwines with the chakras, if I'm not mistaken, the different frequencies relating to different effects, you know, such on sleep,
well,
stress, health.
Yeah. It's a 6-note scale, and actually on a piano there's several 7-note scale, but it relates to do, re, mi, fa, sol, la. And but you can put that also, you know, T, which is then again a B at the top chakra. So you can go from, you know, it's do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And do is repeated. So that's C to C on a piano scale or any scale. And duh, you know, I mean, I don't know why I forgot that. But what I did look up, which is, I thought was fascinating, and there's variations about this, but if we... you know, look at the, let's say, at 396 hertz of sound, which is a solfeggio frequency, is transforming grief into joy and guilt, into forgiveness. If you go 417 hertz, it clears negativity, removes subconscious blockages. Now, I'm reading according to what a lot of healers use, and again, their claims. So, me, like you got your do, re, mi, is 528 hertz, stimulates love, restores equilibrium, repairs DNA. Fa, 639 hertz, strengthens relationships, family, and community. Sol is 741 hertz, cleanses the body from all types of toxins and law, awakens intuition, helps you return to balance. That's at 852 hertz. Now, there's also one for chakras, and you go in the chakras. The crown is 963, and you go down to the root chakra at 396. And for anybody who's interested, there's a lot of music videos on YouTube, lots of them. And you can, you know, Google it there. You can listen to some meditation tapes at all different frequencies. And, of course, there's a lot of claims. There's some science involved and that has been proven. But again, it's, you know, it's still theory. But theory we can certainly get our teeth into, you know.
Right.
And so it's just fascinating, the whole bit about sound.
It is.
Sound frequencies. And we're all affected by sound,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's, you know, vehicles on asphalt or, you know, bird singing. We talked about that before. So it's however, you know, we want to investigate that for ourselves. Something I wrote about in one of the classes was I spent a year on a keyboard meditating to chakras. And, of course, the C at the bottom going upward on a scale in chakras. And I thought, well, why wouldn't it go A, B, C?
Mm.
So what I found, though, is over a period of time, I was like, wow, really intuitive. All my senses were heightened, but I was really out of sync with the world. Like the whole world was vibrating at a whole different frequency.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when I talk to some musicians, and one blues player in particular would say, you know, blues players on guitars are always trying to move, you know, bend notes to find truer frequencies and truer notes. So it made sense, but I had to kind of get back on the collective consciousness and, you know, realign my chakras. But I did it every day for a year. It was my experiment. And very much of what I've written about or, you know, try to impart in the courses is especially the healing courses. It's very much by experimenting and experience. It's not written haphazardly and because I did some research for it. You know, Dr. Mike is saying in the chat, frequencies can be harmful to humans depending on several factors, including the intensity, amplitude, duration of exposure, and the medium of transmission, air, electromagnetic waves, etc. You know, and I'm so glad you brought that up, Dr. Mike. He's
Absolutely.
Our resident genius. You know, there are a lot of irritating sounds. You know, you think about nails on a chalkboard. Sounds that can be very detrimental. And things we can't hear. Now, even according to the WHO, you know, life on Earth cannot withstand greater than a 6 gig frequency. And again, we can't hear it, but it's energy. And we're already at a 5 gig, so that's kind of to that. So think about when dogs can hear things, but we can't, you know, because we're adjusted. And very often we filter out sound much the way we do in sight. You know, our eyes filter out all the little floaties in the air.
Right.
Stuff. So, but it's really fascinating. I know that in Canada, the University of Alberta in Edmonton, they did a study because there's university cattle on a particular area of land that has a lot of transformers around. The fertility rate went down, life expectancy went down, which is good to know. You know, so it's, you know, Dr. Foster, Stephen Foster in the chat saying his dog hears everything. Well, and that's why people have guard dogs.
Well, true enough.
You know,
you know
so it, It is fascinating. It can be harmful. Yeah.
It is. It is very fascinating. And I think, yes, you know, it can be, in terms of, you know, sound, it can be very physically harmful, the waves. When it comes to 6G, I'm curious what that is, because I know, like, for example, 6 gigahertz Wi-Fi is, or I don't know of that, but 5G is fifth generation cell frequencies, and those are, you know, ranges, you know, pretty high in, you know, like the 20 to 37 or something like that, if I remember. So I'm wondering specifically what that's in, because there's so many different kinds of frequencies, right? Because frequency describes so much natural phenomena. I'm curious what that applies to. But also, I think it's fascinating when you bring it right back around to the fact that so many things in life operate as a frequency, as an oscillating wave of some kind. It's some kind of like programming of the universe.
Well, and I think that's where we have to learn more about this. I know there's a lot of studies about, you know, what comes off of cell phones, like radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And, what comes off of... Sorry.
High band, fifth generation signals, or 5G, operate at 24 gigahertz and above. But, you know, it depends on the type of frequencies we're talking about, because there's all kinds of frequencies, radio frequencies, you know, microwave frequencies, sound frequencies. You know, you were talking a little bit earlier about dogs. My dog, my foster dog, Bear, when he gets so excited, you know, he's playing with the other dogs, he does these, you know, barks, these kind of just loud barks. And I keep telling him he's going to give me tinnitus, and I'm pretty sure it's coming true. But, you know, very damaging frequencies right there. But this idea of frequencies and sound and these oscillating waves, how they can, you know, interact with the body. You know, when it comes to these things, I always reserve the right for skepticism. But at the same time, I'm always deeply fascinated and excited by these ideas.
Well, low frequencies, here's when Dr. Mike has also added infrasound below 20 hertz can cause discomfort, nausea, anxiety, and disorientation. Reported in connection with wind turbines, industrial equipment, and some natural phenomena. Frequencies around 17 hertz, which is way lower than what we were talking about in the Salvaggio, he says have been linked to feelings of unease, possibly because they resonate with the human eyeball, subtly distorting vision. Fascinating.
You know what, mate, when we were talking about this earlier, and Dr. Mike, your comments both times, it made me think of something called the Havana Syndrome. Have you heard about this in the news, Dr.
Yes.
Vicky?
Yes. Yeah, I sure did.
Yeah, just for people that might not have, essentially staff at different embassies, notably American embassies or institutions around the world and in the country that I'm aware of, it's probably other nationalities too, reported these, you know, different this discomfort, you know, feeling ill, you know, issues with cognition, all of these things, and it's been a bit of a mystery. I think this kind of plays right to that.
And it could very well, you know, I mean, once the frequency is out and it's altered again, how do you go back and find it? It's gone. So there'd be no evidence that that's what occurred. But look, there's, in the last 100 and some years, there's been an awful lot of hidden studies, shall we say, you know, not commonly known to the public, of what energy does to certain cities, towns, areas, and all kinds of energy, whether it's sound or, you know, some other frequency and things you can't hear. And what does that do to a population? And, of course, very often used in times of war, right? It's ways to subdue populations, but it also can make people violent. So,
well, it's an interesting notion.
And, well, it's not just about economics or, you know, homelessness or anything that makes people violent. It can also be the area. I know that when I've often traveled back to Alberta and Edmonton, there's a low frequency buzzing sound, and it irritates me. And I've told this to a few people, but unless they've been away for a time, like on a holiday or something, and then they go back, they don't hear it.
Right.
And but then I get these messages, oh, you're right.
Like a constant fluorescent bulb sound?
Yeah, it's this, you know, And it's not just a traffic sound. I've been in places where it's like, whoa, the traffic's sure. crazy. This is a different kind of a hum. And so it can be very, very easy to dismiss if you're exposed long term.
Well, there's sensory adaptation. You know, whenever you're around something persistent, you don't notice it because, you know, when you're looking for stimuli out in the wild, you're looking for new things that are changes to the yeah. environment, the balance. Yeah. But you know, it's an interesting idea. You know, you can see it in fiction too. The movie Kingsman famously had a scene where they used frequencies and sound to drive people insane and to fight each other.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
yeah.
not going to say what exists in the real world. I think we don't know. It's unverifiable. It's interesting to kind of think about what the implications could be. You know, a comment yeah. here about HAARP. Which is HAARP, which I can't remember the... Mm-hmm. I can't remember the... Yeah, we can look it up. But I've looked into that before, too. I'm not convinced it's really anything more than, you know, weather monitoring and studying and things like that. But I've heard some people make some interesting...
Well, Dr. Mike just explained it. High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program is a real scientific facility that often gets pulled into conspiracy theories.
Thank you,
Dr. Mike. You know, we're going to have Dr. Mike back again soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dr. Stephen Foster made a comment about elephants communicate with infrasound, and Dr. Mike replied to him saying they do it through their footpads. I had no idea.
That's interesting.
I no idea whatsoever. So, you know, for those who don't know, listening in the archives, because everybody in the chat knows about Dr. Mike, he's our kind of a resident science guy. So a graduate of the school, of course, but also very well experienced when it comes to marine life, particularly shark research, and affiliated with MUFON and ufology.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to get Dr. Mike back.
Absolutely. Always love those conversations and the contributions, and exactly what I was thinking, Dr. Mike. Thank you for putting that in and reminding us what the initialism stood for. Or I guess this actually is an acronym, right? Acronym, it actually makes a word. Initialism, like FBI, it doesn't matter. I digress. Yeah.
Well, I know there's a lot of talk about HAARP, and there's other organizations too. It's not like an island in this, you know, speculation, you know, of what goes on. And there are things that go on. I'd like to kind of remind people, because I know I've talked about it before, is that, you know, California, the Jet Propulsion Lab did a lot of experiments back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and any kind of audiovisual tools were first tested on reservations, on Native people, and in the schools, you know, unfortunately, before they were ever put into white society. You know, how do these tools affect the psyche, and, you know, how can we do that? And, you know, I remember clearly grade 3 and 4, and we're going back to, you know, the very early 60s, that we go to the film room, you know, and there's the big projector, and we're watching videos of train accidents in mountains and dismembered bodies and car accidents, and like it was the fear mongering of it. And of course I look back at that later, but in the moment, this is all for educational purposes. Well, I don't see anything educational about, you know, what do we know about driving, you know, in grade 3? Come on.
Right.
Except to go home and taunt our parents.
I think somebody was just having a hangover and needed some kind of video to show the students.
No, these were the kinds of things put out by the education board.
Really?
Yes. And there was a time back in the 60s when most universities taught some level of metaphysics, telepathy, and so on, in generalized psychology at university level. And then that changed. In the 70s, it got transferred all to the McGill University, and they have a department, or had back then, because my information on that one is very old, and back to the Jet Propulsion Lab. So there's a lot of studies done, and things that used to be more mainstream was taken out. So like they like to hoard these things. You know, it's kind of the dumbing down of society. Yeah. Except us, Michael.
Well, yeah. I would agree with you, but I'm biased, of course. But yes.
We can't always trust Google anymore. Well, you know, there was a time when the internet came out and, you know, most of the information was, you know, fairly accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Now people just write stuff.
Oh, sure.
So you have to always look at the source.
You know, and in ChatGPT AI things, you know, it pulls from whatever humans put on the internet. So again, look at the source. Don't just trust an AI summary. Yeah. Yes, Google, but I would say that with anything, you know. Don't take anybody just at their word for it. Just because somebody says something's true doesn't make it true. You know, so what's the underlying source material? What's the information that leads to this conclusion? Look at the source, not just the message. I think there's always a good rule of thumb when it comes to looking at things online. At this point, if I see something on social media, I'm going to assume it's not true or it's junk until I see it otherwise. Because there's so much monetization to get, you know, clicks. Anything that is provocative, that's controversial, that's going to get clicks, is going to make people money. And with that incentive, people are going to put a lot of bunk online.
Yeah, for sure. Well, even as a young girl, my question is, who started that? Who decided that? And that's how I got kicked out of teaching Sunday school.
I mean, kind of a blessing in disguise, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I dared to ask.
Right.
You know, who said Jesus looked like that? Shouldn't he have brown skin? And because it was logical to me.
Right.
Like, I mean, because learning about geography, learning about the world, that doesn't make sense. A white guy? Like, you know, but I had questioned things earlier than that. And, of course, they can try to humor me, and I just nod and smile. But that was the final one.
I often look at things like, you know, representations of Jesus as a European man in kind of the same light as, you know, Japanese Buddhists making Buddha appear Japanese. You know, you can always, you always take, you know, these things and make them somewhat more relatable, or especially in the older periods where, you know, frankly, if you lived in Japan, you didn't often see people that didn't also live in Japan, and likewise with Europe and so on and so on and so on. But it's an interesting cultural thing, but it's always good to remember, just because something is popular in the collective psyche does not mean it's true. You know, blonde eye or blue eye, white Jesus. If it's historic, you know, and if there is a historic Jesus, didn't look like that. Looks like somebody that you would probably find in the Middle East now. And likewise and on and on. And it always is good to question some of these cultural suppositions. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know, one thing I do want to touch on, and that we have some, you know, fun discussion in the chat. One thing that I did want to touch on that I see a little bit talk of in the chat is music. And, of course, frequencies are part of that. You talked about the scale earlier. And, you know, music is really just audible mathematics, right? And, you know, you could make an argument that, you know, if something is going to be truly sentient, it has to understand music on some level. Would you say that?
Well, I think so. There's I can't remember his name, but there's a fellow on YouTube and, you know, all the other social media. He goes around to various places and plays guitar and sings to animals. And the responses he gets to even antisocial animals is fascinating. You know, these animals are known for this and known for that, but even wild aggressive animals, you know, and they just walk up to him, curious, very calm. Whether it's a herd of cattle or llamas or
I've seen those
some other
too,
exotic
ones
too, you know, it's fascinating.
It is very
cool. Dr. Iona said, isn't it a shame I can't believe anything anymore? We're becoming so cynical, but it's what these times demand.
And yeah.
I think they always have demanded that. However, we have to be very observant. And I think you got to listen to your gut, people. You know, your intuition is like, that doesn't feel right.
Right.
That doesn't sense. I sense something is amok there.
I agree in a lot of ways because, you know, sometimes I say, that seems there's a prolific amount of pages on things like Instagram, TikTok, and the like where they have essentially fake NASA videos. They have highly, edited, highly altered videos they claim to be released from NASA. One was of, like, the Mars skyline, some of Jupiter, things like that. I look at it, I'm like, given that I know so many fake things are out there like this, I bet you this one is too. And, you know, it's sad because especially in this world of AI, which is just growing more and more sophisticated, it is becoming increasingly difficult to separate fact from fiction. Yeah. We've laughed at some of the early AI and how ridiculous it can be, but it's getting better, and it's getting better fast.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be too long before somebody can put a few words into a prompt and make a video of, for example, a news announcement or anything, video of something that's supposedly seen in the wild, anything like that. How many Bigfoot videos are going to come out? How many Loch Ness Monster videos are going to come out? Alien videos and the like, which we've already seen fake AI alien videos. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, it's going to be a time where I don't know how long it's going to take the human species to be able to accommodate this level of computing technology into society to where it's not as much of a danger.
Good point, Michael. Sure. I would like to say, though, this is true, and I did check it out. A massive solar flare came off the sun May 14 or 16, and it's the size of 11 Earths together. Hey. And it ought to be hitting, you know, our atmosphere anytime. And although they don't suspect it will knock out communications, it's possible. And part of what they're trying to do is NASA is trying to do is educate people about what happens if. And, you know, scientifically, they're measuring bigger flares off of the sun. So that's just a heads up. I'm not fear-mongering. I'm just telling you what's going on.
I mean,
so
anytime things like this come, we have an addiction to our toys. What's that?
We have an addiction to our toys, and one day, if they're not there for a minute,
solar flare is going to keep me from my toys? No. I have a generator. I have DVDs. I have offline games. You know, come on. I'll be fine. And I have my my lightsaber ready to go, so we're all good here. No solar flare is going to keep me from my shenanigans. I'm going to tell you that much.
You know, I was a friend of mine and I were visiting the other day talking about it, and I said, I remember the days when there was no electricity, so I'm good. I can read a book. I get art projects. I know, you know, how to light a candle. You know, so in the winter it's going to be a bit cold, and you know, but there's ways to warm places up. You just have to be a little bit creative, and old-fashioned ways. It's the way it used to go.
Yeah.
Now, if you can't, for those who live in an apartment or a place that doesn't allow a fireplace that burns wood, for instance, then just look it up. There are, old ways of using a candle under, you know, a clay pot, for instance, that heats up the pot that gives off some heat.
Even without electricity, you can still use radiators, you know, have a boiler downstairs that heats up the water, runs it through the radiators, heats the apartments. That's how they did it back in the day, too.
You need wood and coal for that. But for generators, if you get something that's half solar, half gas, because if there is no power, then you can't get gas from a gas station.
No.
Keep that in
mind. Right.
And if you can, have some cash at home.
Or golden, cougarins. But
I know, extra cash these days is a little hard to come by for a lot of people. But, if I've had the experience when the systems are down and my cards don't work,
Oh, yeah. You know, anybody that's been in, you know, tornadoes, hurricanes, natural disasters. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, for weeks on end. Yeah. But let's, you know, that's when people come together. That's when people come united to help one another. You know, if we have a solar flare, well, great. It's not going to be the first one we've had. If it does some damage, it's going to hurt, but we'll get, you know, we'll get over it. We'll rise above. Human beings are great survivors. Stuff can hurt, you know, but it's not going to end us. Global warming isn't going to end us. It's just going to make it hurt, you know, for a long time. And, okay, I'm not saying people won't die. I'm saying the species won't go extinct. Nuclear war, maybe, but I still think there's a lot of us and we could probably do better. But yeah, that kind of thing, you know. But
yeah. Well, I guess it's that time, Michael. I did put it in the chat that if anybody would like cards tonight, you know, put your name down and, you know, we have the names popping up already. I've enjoyed this conversation, though.
Yeah, it's been a fun one.
Yeah. We learn things. We're always learning things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And thanks to Dr. Mike.
Oh, very much so.
And all the other chatter that goes on there.
Very much so. And keeping our mind open to new ideas and, you know, testing them, you know, questioning things. Yeah. It's good stuff, and it's always good to expand our minds about what might be possible.
Yeah, for sure.
But you're right, we do have some names coming up, and on my list I do see Dr. Ione coming up first, so welcome.
I do, first one off the get-go.
All right. And you get wild card tonight, number 5, don't hate. A low-energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear. Demonstrated is the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm and do right to self and others.
Well, interesting that the 7 of Spades, 7 of Swords has come up, you know, as a partner to that tonight, Ione. It may be what I'm picking up, but you may feel like you're not quite getting what it's deserving or something unjust or something unfair in some way. But I'd like you to think of it could turn out better than you expect. So your initial reaction might be, you know, well, I would have words for it. We won't say on air. Let's just say it can ruffle your feathers a little. And the inclination might be, you know, somewhat more than assertive. But it's saying just step back and look at it, that it might go better than you expect. It might be one of, you know, it's a cliche thing to say, a blessing in disguise. So sometimes we just have to let things, in other words, don't try to buffer what is, let it show itself, and it's more on them than it is on you. So that's what I have to say. I hope that makes sense to Ione.
All right. Dr. Jerry, always good to see you. I have you up next, and I have for you number 26, energy signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy. Remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature. It's a good one.
It is a good one, and with the 4 of Pentacles, that 4 of Diamonds, it's okay to be a bit miserly, Jerry. It's, you know, feeling satisfied with where you are and who you are, what you do, and, you know, putting up the shield. I know certainly Jerry's living in tornado land right now, and she's put up a shield around her property, and, you know, that's what we do. And you're good. So that energy signature is working for you. So good on you. I like it. You know, one of the things that I was taught, Michael, in Indian country was every Easter, which would be that, you know, spring full moon for pagans, We put up a tornado print, and it's a square piece of a square yard or square meter of navy blue cotton fabric. And whatever way the wind blows, wherever you feel, is you hang it in a tree and saying prayers, and whatever storms come that year, they go around you and over you. And it's all part of that protection of who you are, what you are, where you live. And I saw many things in action doing that for many years. Trust me. Very interesting things.
Does it work in hurricanes?
I'll try it. It minimizes where you are.
Maybe to keep my fence intact this year.
Well, things can do a wind can do a hop skip, you know. Yeah, I'm just saying, energy. So good for you, Jerry. Jeff, we have Jeff next.
Jeff, happy to see you. And I have for you number 20, deliberate intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Well, something to do with finances here for you, Jeff. That's a little shift here. The Six of Pentacles, Six of Diamonds, a matter of money coming and going. And it can be either, but in this case, it's more about what you have coming in and then what you want to do with it. So it's a deliberate action on your part. And it's a very, to me, this is a really positive sign. It's certainly not negative. So there's something good around finances coming. Yeah.
All right.
I think we have Donna next.
All right. I have Donna up as well. And for you, Donna, I have number 12, Spirit, Cosmos, Divine Energy. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play. That's a good one.
You know, it is a good one. A few things come to mind here with the Five of Pentacles and that Five of Diamonds. I really feel here it's a calling to your own pathway, Donna. It's being true to yourself, even though others may try to hold you back or convince you otherwise. And I think even when the spirit moves you to do something, I think we also have to be responsible. You know, if we have families to feed, if we have responsibilities at home, you know, those things, all of that has to be taken into consideration. You have a job, you know, and how that works. So again, the responsibility to life and the fundamental things we have to take care of. But if the spirit is calling you and you're tuned into you and who you are more of, you have to follow that to the best of your ability. So I guess what I'm saying is there could be a few people tugging at your apron strings and you just don't have it in you anymore. Mm. So that's what I have to say. You can't give away what you don't have, Michael. Mm.
Yeah, very, very true.
So, I want to thank everybody in the chat for their feedback. I appreciate that. And Jerry said that those cards were good on her, and she's going to be her energy signature is going to be tested this weekend because she's going to a camp with people she's never met before. So it'll be interesting for her. And Dr. Jeff said the money's certainly flowing out. Hopefully this is a good sign. Isn't that true for a lot of people these days? That, you know, I feel like that's a good card for you, a good, you know, bit of energy for you there, Jeff. Things will balance out. I think we have Teresa next, Michael.
We do, and for you, Teresa, I have number 32, sympathy and empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, or sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, or relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so.
King of Pentacles. King of Diamonds. It reminds me, in this case, what I really want to say is I can't, but you know when you're dealing with somebody and you're pleading your case, but it's more about them than you, and they get lost in their own poor me? and that's what I feel here. It's somebody who is kind of gaslighting or turning it back on what their needs are before you. And so it's, you can have sympathy. You can certainly have empathy, but that King of Diamonds is saying here, keep perspective and don't let that alter from the matters at hand. I don't know where that came from, Michael, so that's just what I want to say. So, you know, people can distract for what's really the issue. So don't let that happen to you, Teresa.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right, I think our last card for the evening is Audra. And Audra, for you, I have number 43, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Oh, look, two cards came up. The first one is that Three of Spades, Three of Swords, which is very often a disappointment, but I'm saying, okay, in what? Ace of Pentacles. And I think this has everything to do with work, Audra. I think that knowing when to act, knowing when to pause, knowing with to when to withdraw, kind of thing. Expediency. Excuse me. Don't let disappointment get in the way of what you see clearly and know to do. That's what I want to say.
Very interesting.
Sorry, Michael, I had to cough.
Oh, understandable.
I had to mute you. I hope that makes sense. And thanks. And thanks to Donna for her response, as well as Teresa. And look, I mean, it's really important to me. That makes me relax more into doing this with no other frames of reference for people. So,
Yeah. You
know, I just have cards and say, ooh, what do I get from that? So thank you for that, everybody. I appreciate it.
No, absolutely. And I always enjoy listening to you kind of in your intuitive side and, you know, kind of digging into the deeper meaning. And, you know, that last message too was just, you know, sounded like it kind of had something behind it too. So very interesting. And I hope it hates.
Well, you know, we're all in a very interesting, like, I think you only have to tune into the news for 5 minutes to realize that everyone on the planet is going through some shifts and changes. And I'd like to share something, Michael. I went for a massage, to open my rib cage, and I have rotator cuff issues. But this woman is a miracle worker. She finds spots on me I never knew hurt. And she does Reiki as well. So as I'm kind of zoning out, I don't know, I have these little flashes of the future after 2026 and the healing beginning. Of course, there's going to be dissent in that you know, who feels victimized, blah, blah. But one of the things that was pretty clear to me is how older people are going to be so needed to teach younger generations a different way of critical thinking. And not just in life skills, but how to multitask, how to, you know, basically not be lazy and not be entertained. And I thought it was, you know, really interesting that I saw more details in that are coming up that's going to be very pivotal and educational. And like, there's a lot of us older people, you know, we say, I don't know why I'm still here. Well, it's maybe we can help out, is what this message was. To be able to calm people down and they panic and have issues of what, see, you know, some people's idea of trauma for mental health is what we would shrug off as kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm not kidding about that. I mean, we fell off the monkey bars and split our head open. They go, oh, well, put a Band-Aid on it, go back and play. And now everybody's, well, we want those monkey bars taken down.
Well, at least put some padding down there. I mean, we all see what happens to American football players when they smack their heads a lot.
Yeah, but they want to. That's the difference. So it's, again, it was, we were tougher, is what I'm trying to say. I know somebody tried to tell me that their teenager was going through trauma. I said, oh, I had no idea. What happened? Well, her friends abandoned her. She's going through a lot of trauma. And I'm thinking, that happens to everybody.
Oh, true enough.
That's life. That's not trauma.
I think people are addicted to over-dramatizing things and, you know, using words that have, you know, a more extreme meaning to try and get a reaction. I mean, yeah, it's painful.
I know.
It sucks, but...
But it's out of control. I mean, how would they feel if they're living in Ukraine or somewhere else? It's a very Western problem.
Well, it's a problem of the first world, you know. I think it's a problem that when you don't have the basic challenges of survival, you know, humans have no issue finding problems to occupy our time. I mean, look at the modern world. If you took any peasant from medieval Europe or anywhere 100 to 200 years ago, bring them into the modern era, basically from anywhere, and plop them into a, you know, yeah, okay, yeah, it's a tough job. You know, we all work hard, we all do things, but they would look at it as some kind of utopia, some kind of paradise. You know, it is all relative, isn't it? When are subsistence farming, and if you have a bad yield, one of your children might not make it through the winter. That is a darn sight different than, you know, the problems that we have in the modern era.
Well, and this is what I'm saying in these shifts, and, you know, it's just that your wisdom will come from those who have lived longer and through different and otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Very true.
And I know I see it around me frequently where I shake my head and say, I had no idea that belonged in the mental health issues now, you know.
Yeah.
I'm the first one to say these are very, like, mental health is a very big problem, but everything's relative.
Well, when it comes to being aware of mental health issues and to normalizing people having mental health issues, it is not so that, you know, people can say, well, okay, you know, we have to work around that. We work around you with that issue, right? No, it is more to destigmatize seeking help and to make us more aware of ourselves, you know, to work beyond things. You know, when you realize that you might have issues with anxiety, like I have myself, you don't then say, well, okay, I have anxiety. That means I'll never do this, this, and this. No, you say, okay, I understand that I have this issue. How am I going to work through it and get to the other side?
Exactly.
And not let it hinder me?
Exactly.
And I will also say I have this theory that when people are doing too well, they're, you know, they don't have any real issues, they will create issues and problems, kind of as I alluded earlier, that when you have a bored, affluent society, they will cause chaos to create problems. And then we will feel real issues, you know, and that keeps coming around. It always makes me think of that line in The Matrix, the first one where Agent Smith is talking about the early, you know, farms of humans. Oh, and here's an interesting thing. you know, in the first drafts of the Matrix, the human beings were being captured and controlled by the artificial life, the robots, essentially not for batteries. They were doing this so they could use our brains as a massive computer and neural networks. But then the studios didn't think people would understand that, and they wanted them to change the idea. So then they switched to the whole battery idea. I digress. In the movie, they talk often about it. Well, not often. They talk in the scene about how in the early days of the Matrix, everything was a paradise. Everything was perfect, but humans couldn't accept that it was real, and whole crops were lost, as he says. Mm-hmm. People needed to have a little conflict, a little pain, a little misery in life to accept it as reality. Mm-hmm. There was some truth to that scene.
Yeah. I'd like to just share a couple of things in the chat. Dr. Mike has said one of his favorite things to say is if it's not life-threatening, then it's not important. Yeah. You just think it is. And Audra has said, many people, and young people especially, have less perspective and exposure to the world. I always have hope they realize the levels of trauma versus drama as they grow up. Very well said. It's you're right, Michael. You know, people will create. They'll create things because we do like to be entertained.
But, I mean, think about how many people love to spread gossip and the juicy details because it's entertaining. I mean, we watch movies with all kinds of chaos and violence and, you know, such drama, and it's gripping, you know. I love the Game of Thrones, except for the last season, it was brutal. But when you don't have to live it, it's a heck of a lot more entertaining than when you do. I would say that in anybody in any of the periods of human existence, 500 years ago and prior, maybe even more recently, they'd probably trade places with us. Like, if you could go back in time, would you switch places with the most powerful person, the most wealthy, you know, person of 200 years ago? Even if they had a palace, even if they had servants, even if they had all of these things.
No, because they didn't have good dental care.
Oh, my God. That's such a big one. Or air conditioning. You know? I mean, I wouldn't. I would rather have this, you know, life than anything of a nobleman of 200 years ago.
But, that's funny. Well, it's been a good chat.
It has.
Tonight.
I'm sorry
to hear that so many people in the chat have had certain connectivity issues and lost connections tonight. But, you know, hopefully some of you, as you say, got it back. That's good. It happens. Sometimes there's gremlins out there in the universe. So.
You know, when the New World Order doesn't want people to hear the truth, then they start clamping down on stuff. At least that's what I'm going with. But no, it has been a great discussion. Appreciate the topic idea, Teresa. Appreciate everybody for being with us tonight. But no, you're right. It is that time of the evening where we draw to a close. And
it is.
Yeah.
But, well, I've enjoyed this and, of course, reminded very much about solfeggio.
It was an interesting topic. I hadn't known much at all about it. I know a little bit more, and I appreciate that. It is fascinating. So, again, thank you for the research you did into it and your insights.
Well, we'll dazzle everybody again next week.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to change your life, you know, so tune in. But again, thank you, everybody. Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts before we wrap up?
Yeah, don't let them push you around out there, folks.
There you
just
go.
Just be you.
Well, as you can hear, it is the time of the evening where we wrap up, as Bear is very persistently reminding me. So with that, I will say looking forward to having you all join us next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.